evening of daylight savings time, where it's darker now in the evening and slightly brighter in the morning. And we're looking at the message for tonight, End Times Signs. End Times Signs. What's going to happen when we come down to the end? Are we at the end? Are we near the end? We just don't fully know. But Jesus gives us a roadmap. The Holy Spirit gives us a roadmap. So Jesus speaking in Matthew 24 will be our text. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, whether it's a tablet or a phone or a hard copy of the Bible. When you find Matthew chapter 24, put that Bible on your head. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you, because Fern bought Bibles for the entire church. So if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. And open up the scriptures to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 31. These 31 verses will not be on the screen. I'll be referencing some of them. We'll be going over to the book of Revelation for a good portion of the verses tonight as well. So open with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin with verse number 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And if I would have been thinking a little clearer, I would have had a picture of this, because when we are in Jerusalem and when we are standing looking at, you know, the Temple Mount there, and you see this mountain of rocks, these boulders that are probably about 15 feet tall. They left them from when Herod came with his army and literally destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And as part of that destruction, they just pushed the rocks over the edge of the retaining walls. This retaining wall that's about 100 foot tall, and those rocks are there to this day. The rocks are there in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. They utterly destroyed the temple, and they literally just pushed it off the side of the Temple Mount. And now we have the Dome of the Rock built there. This is what Jesus is referencing. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and this is why this portion that we're going to be looking at tonight is part of what we call the Olivet Discourse. This is what historians and scholars call this section of Scripture, the Olivet Discourse. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" They were curious, just like we were. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end," we call that endurance, "but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel," let the reader understand, "then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Everyone say, oh me, oh my. Yeah, pretty tough, pretty tough. And as we go along further tonight, it gets even tougher, even darker, even bleaker. And again, this is part of what scholars have described as the Olivet Discourse. He's on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem, looking down through the Kidron Valley and into that eastern gate. And prophetically, Jesus knows that when he returns, he's going to walk down through that valley, that the Mount of Olives will split in two. He's going to walk down that valley, walk up through the graveyard that the Muslims have erected there outside that eastern gate, and he's going to walk right through that gate, and he's going to sit on his glorious throne. Amazing. During these times, one of the things that we're going to see is great spiritual deception. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. There's going to be a rise, we know from the scriptures, of those claiming to be the Messiah. And we're going to look at the false prophet and the Antichrist who will demand worship. And during these times, there's going to be these false prophets who are going to arise and try to declare to us a new way to God, or even a new God. This is part of the spiritual deception. And the Antichrist and the false prophet will literally declare that they are gods and will demand that people worship them. And in the persecuted church today, across the earth, if you are known to be a Christian, life is tough for you because they will demand that you renounce your faith. This is part of what's going on. Great spiritual deception, social devastation, the instability of society. Again, we need to be thankful to God that this nation is what it still is. Now, this nation is full of problems up to our eyeballs, but we ought to thank God that we still have a stability in our nation, that we still can have elections, that we don't have total lawlessness in the streets like in many nations of the earth. But this time will be marked by all kinds of disruptions in society. There'll be an increase in warfare and hostilities. And here's what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. So as part of that, there is going to be this disruption in the societies that we live in, not just here in the States, but across the earth. Unparalleled times, Jesus said, something that's never happened to such degree and never again will happen. And to such a degree that literally no one would survive. Again, these are not going to be, oh, that's kind of a tough day. Oh, we're kind of going through a tough stretch. No. It's going to be so horrific that if they weren't stopped, no one would survive. But Jesus says, for the sake of us, the elect, the days are going to be cut short. One of the things that there is going to be a increase of is an increase in anti-Semitism. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 9. Then you, and he's speaking to his disciples. So not necessarily Gentiles. We like to think it's us, but he's speaking to his disciples, his followers there. And these are Jews. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Do you know that the very first missionary support that this church began was Christ for the Nations, Israel? Now, not just Christ for the Nations, but they were already beginning their tours of Israel. They finished their 50th tour, or maybe their 51st tour. But they have been taking people to Israel for over 50 years. And the very first missionary support that Pastor Paulzer took on when he came to this church was Christ for the Nations, Israel. And we will support Israel till we are no more. Now again, people are critical of what's going on in Israel. They're critical of Benjamin Netanyahu, their supposed corruption. I don't care what there is. We will stand with that nation. We will stand with that nation. I mean, even if they have a prime minister that rises up and as wicked, we'll stand with the nation. We may not stand with that man or that woman, but we'll stand with that nation and its people. Because this is where the eternal kingdom is going to reside. Literally, the New Jerusalem, I mean, the very name, is going to come down out of heaven. And the center of the universe, not just of the earth, the center of the universe will be in Jerusalem. And Jesus will reign from his glorious throne. But Jesus says there's going to be an increase in anti-Semitism. And I'll tell you, these legislators in America, they ought to be shouted down. They ought to be voted out when they raise their mouths against Israel. Now again, Israel is not a perfect nation, but this is God's nation. Israel is God's nation. And whether there's good leaders or bad leaders, whether there's good policy or bad policy, Israel is God's people. And it's his nation. And these legislators who want to rise up and mock and be critical of, they need to shut their mouths, be voted out of office. We will stand in, and I pray that our nation, I don't think it'll happen, but I pray that our nation will stand with Israel to the very end. I don't think we will, because the Bible says all the nations of the earth, not just some or most, all the nations of the earth will turn on Israel. And I think that'll be us too. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Luke records this. They marched against the breadth, across the breadth of the earth, and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. There is coming a day when the nations will gather against Israel, and it's going to look like, oh my, we're cooked. And the Bible says, fire will come down from heaven and devour them, because God's people and his city will not be destroyed. There'll be days marked by desperate, desperate times. Matthew 24:7. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. Do you know that one person dies from salvation or one of its related diseases every second of every day? Every second of every day, one person dies of salvation. That means that there's 86,400 people who die of starvation every day. 2,592,000 die per month, 2,592,000 per month, and 31,104,000 every year die of starvation. And 75% of those who die are infants and children under the age of 5. And here's the crazy thing. If you let the farmers of America loose, take off all the restrictions, take off all the stipulations, plow your fields to the roads, do you know that the nation of America could feed the entire earth? But all this bureaucracy, all these rules, and literally 31 million people die a year from starvation. That should not be. But these are the days that are coming upon us. And the Bible says during the tribulation, it'll even be worse than that. During this time, it'll be marked by diseases. Revelation chapter 6, I looked and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. A fourth of the world's population would equal approximately 1.8 billion people. How are you going to bury that? Incurable diseases will run rampant on the earth. There's going to be great disasters that take place on the earth. Revelation 9. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, I personally believe, and by the way, I'm going to say this, the research I present to you tonight, I did not do all this research myself. My gosh. There are libraries full of end times, you know, prophecy there. I'm just trying to glean some things to add to this passage from Matthew chapter 24. All right? I personally believe that these four angels aren't necessarily angels. I think they're demonic creatures, all right, because they're going to kill to such a degree, but I could be wrong on that. But they have been kept ready for this hour, day, month, and year to kill a third of mankind. Now, we just saw that a fourth of the earth was wiped out in Revelation 6. We go a few chapters later in Revelation 9, and a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. Another 1.8 billion people. Two events killing 3.6 billion people, over half of the earth's population. Breathtaking, breathtaking. These times will be marked by, sadly, a disavowing of the faith. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now again, Jesus doesn't mince words. The Holy Spirit doesn't mince words. And so when he speaks of most, that's more than just, well, you know, maybe 100,000 people might fall away. Most means most, literally over 50%. How horrific is that thought to consider? How horrific that thought that some of those could be in this room today. I pray that's not the case. Those listening by live stream, I pray that that's not the case. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And that's why when Christians are bent out of shape and tear up the playhouse at a church and leave a church angry and mad, how pitiful. Shame on you. How sad it is, a commentary, that one Christian hates another Christian. Are you flipping kidding me? And when that happens, that person is no more a Christian than I am a Bears or a Packers or a Lions fan. You just don't do that. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So verse 10 speaks of betrayal and hatred. Verse 12 speaks of wickedness and the love of sin. But then we have a bright spot in this. 24 and 14 of Matthew, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I was listening to Joel Osteen speak of, and I forget who the pastor's name is, out of Oklahoma City who developed the YouVersion Bible. I'm not sure. But do you know that the YouVersion Bible has been downloaded over 41 million times? And it just happened to coincide with that they developed an app the same time, the same exact time that Apple on their iPhone said, we're going to have an app store. You can download apps on your phone and you can personalize your phone with these apps. Do you know that this app was developed at the same exact time that Apple came out with their phone. They were struggling to try and develop something, not an app, but just some way on the internet where people could access the Bible. And they said, you know what? There are these smartphones, and I think this is where we need to go. And they shifted their focus from just having it on the internet to having an app on their phone. And the YouVersion Bible, which has hundreds of translations, hundreds. I mean, if you want Portuguese, Swahili, Hindi, I mean, you name it. The YouVersion Bible has been downloaded over 41 million times. Breathtaking. And this gospel, through satellite, through radio, through internet, is being taken to the ends of the earth. Now, people might be as poor can be. They might live in the most remote portions of the earth, but they have smartphones. I mean, my sister lives in Malawi, in the poorest of the poorest of the poorest part of the capital city in Malawi. But they all have smartphones. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. And so as part of this, God is going to raise up men and women across the earth, as he already is, to bring the gospel to the far-flung reaches of the earth. And as we come down to the very end, he is going to raise up two separate groups of preachers that are going to be powerful. Number one, Revelation 7. I'm not going to read these, so I'm just going to give you references. But Revelation chapter 7, the 144,000, that God is going to raise up 12,000 men and women from each of the tribes of Israel, and they're going to have power, they're going to have authority, and they're going to declare the gospel of the kingdom. 144,000 of them, and they're going to be sent out to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And the devil and the Antichrist will be powerless to stop them from their appointed task. Then Revelation chapter 11 speaks of the two witnesses. Now, we don't necessarily know who these witnesses are, but they're going to stand at the wall of the third temple, because it speaks of this temple that was built. And so there's going to be a third temple that's going to be built, and they're going to stand at the western wall. We call it the Wailing Wall of that third temple. And there's going to be every attempt under heaven to destroy these men. But these two men will have power and authority to literally, they will be able to call down plagues and read it in the scriptures. Read in the scriptures, Revelation chapter 11, 1 through 12. They'll have such authority and power. When they say there's going to be rain, there's going to be rain. When there's going to be no rain, there's going to be no rain. And when they say there's going to be plagues, the Bible says they'll be able to call down plagues as often as they want. And they'll be completely, the demons of hell, the Antichrist, the false prophet will be powerless to touch these men until the time of their end. And they're going to be killed. And literally, the earth is going to celebrate these suckers, these blankety blank, these plagues and these. And they're going to be celebrating, sending gifts to one another, because these guys have been finally killed. And the Bible says, boink, they're going to rise up from the dead. And the whole earth is going to marvel like what? Their bodies will be in the street, and people will have celebrations across the earth. And those two prophets will rise up from the dead. Amazing. Well, then we go to the trumpet judgments that are coming across the earth. And again, I'm just going to simply mention these things. I'm not going to put them up on the screen. But the first trumpet, Revelation 8, 7, a third of the green vegetation on the face of the earth is destroyed. Now, you talk about starvation, that's bad already. How about when a third of the vegetation is destroyed? The second trumpet, Revelation 8 and 9, a third of the oceans become blood, and a third of the life in the seas is destroyed. So the fishing population, a third will be wiped out, and a third of the world's shipping will be destroyed. So shipping, which brings food and supplies across the earth, is going to be devastated, bringing about, again, cataclysmic devastation. The third trumpet, Revelation 8, 10 and 11. We don't necessarily know, but there's this star that the Bible calls wormwood that crashes to the earth. And the water supplies are going to be devastated by this. And they're going to pollute a third of the fresh water of the world. And the poison that the water and the after effects of that is going to be, again, a horrific time. The fourth trumpet, Revelation 8 and 12. And again, we don't know exactly what takes place here, but the sun's light is diminished by a third. The sun, the moon, the stars. There's going to be cataclysmic things happen in the heavens to where the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be darkened. Crazy. And one third of the light is going to be destroyed. The fifth trumpet. The earth is invaded by an army of demons from the pits of hell, and they're going to torment humanity for 5 months. Now, they're not going to kill them, and the Bible says the pain will be so suffering that they're going to try to kill themselves. The pain is so horrific in people, they're going to try to kill themselves, but they won't be able to do it. They won't be able to do it. But there is going to be horrific pain inflicted upon people for 5 months, and they literally will not be able to achieve death. Hell will literally visit the earth. Revelation 9:13, and again, a demonic invasion from the pits of hell that numbers 200 million, and the Bible says 200 million will be released on the earth. And here's the crazy thing. Even though half of the world will be killed, people won't repent. They're still going to go on in their wickedness. They're still going to be proud in that I know better. Wow. And then the seventh trumpet is Revelation 11:15 through 19, and that introduces what they call the seven vials or the seven bowl judgments. The first vial, Revelation 16, some kind of a cancerous sore that inflicts humanity. The second vial, Revelation 16:3, the waters of the sea are turned to blood and every creature in the sea dies. Imagine the stench of that. Revelation 16:4 through 7, this is the third vial. The fresh waters of the earth are turned to blood, so we aren't going to have drinking waters. The fourth vial, 16:8 and 9. The sun's heat is intensified and men's bodies are burned by the heat of the sun. And again, mankind will not repent. I mean, all these things are coming upon them. The fifth vial, Revelation 16:10, brings darkness and intense pain to the inhabitants of the earth. And people will gnaw their tongues in pain, but they'll refuse to repent. The sixth vial, 16:12 through 14, the Euphrates River is dried up and it's going to prepare the pathway for the nations to be able to invade Israel. And then the seventh vial is Revelation 16:17 through 21. It brings a cataclysm on the earth of an earthquake. An earthquake unparalleled in human history. An earthquake that'll be so crazy, ridiculous, mountains will not exist anymore. That's what the Bible says. Literally, the mountains will not exist. The islands of the sea are going to sink into the sea. And then on top of that, there's going to be hailstones weighing approximately 125 pounds that are going to rain down from heaven onto earth. I mean, holy cats. Crazy, crazy end time events. Well then, how do these desperate days conclude? Look in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 24 and verse number 30. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. We don't know exactly how this will take place, but every eye will see him. We believe that because of technology, it's possible. And I think it'll be such an event that, again, God can do a miraculous thing no matter where you are on the earth. You'll hear something. You'll hear the sound. And people will see it. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And when he returns, he's going to destroy the Antichrist and all his followers in one moment of time. And eternity will be ushered in. Eternity will be ushered in. So let's close. Let's close with this here. You know, when we read these passages, it's disturbing. And it can raise a lot of questions. And one that always arises, if God is so loving, fill in the blank, a third of the earth, a fourth of the earth, that means over a half of the earth, surely God can't be loving. And what about the innocents? What about the children? What about the women? What about those who have never heard? You know, questions can arise here. And there is no way in these 31 minutes and 30 seconds that I've had here, literally I started exactly at 7 o'clock tonight, in these 31 minutes that I've been speaking to you, there is no way under the sun that this preacher here can give you all the answers to all the questions you have. And again, people way, way, way smarter than me, way more gifted than I have got up and preached on end times events. But let me just deposit three little things to you as it pertains to how can we take comfort in these things. Again, when we read the scriptures, the Bible says, Jesus says, and I just want to reference that again, Jesus says that these days would be so horrific, no one would survive. And when he says no one, he literally means the inhabitants of the earth would never be able, not a single person would survive. But he says, because of my elect, because of the elect, because of my children, he says the days are going to be cut short. So what can we draw upon? Number one, God is sovereign. Let's see. I don't know who's back there. Can you go back a couple of slides? Go back. All right, so let's do this. Oh, okay, they're not on there. Here's my 3 points. I thought I'd put them on here. Number one, God is sovereign. And we either believe that or we don't. You either believe this or you don't. And coupled with sovereignty is the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And we either believe that or we don't. And that includes when a third of the earth, 1.8 billion people are killed. We have to believe that God is sovereign, that good, that God is kind, that God is good, that God is merciful, that God is just. We either believe that or we don't. Number one, we have to draw upon that God is sovereign. Secondly, God will take care of you. Say me. Say this, God will take care of me. And we have to believe that. Now, you know what? You may be beheaded. You may be beaten to death. You may be cast into a prison and never see the light of day again. But here's the thing, God will take care of you. Well, don't tell me that God is taking care of me when they're marching me off to take my head off. No. God will take care of you. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God will take care of you. God will take care of me because here's the thing, and I'm aware of this. I'm aware of this. They'll come for me before they'll come for you. They'll come for me before they'll come for you. And just a few hundred miles north in Canada, in certain provinces, if you speak about the LGTB, you go to prison. Can't do that. So here's the thing. I'll go before you do. And we hear all kinds of accounts of people who storm into churches and they take the pastor and they persecute the pastor. They you know, kill the pastor to try and get the congregation to renounce their faith. You know, strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. But here's what I do know. God is sovereign, and God will take care of me. God will take care of you. God will take care of us. And then thirdly, we have to be strong to help others. You're going to be able, you will have to be able, dads and moms, to bring hope and comfort to your children when they're scared out of their socks. You're going to have to give hope and comfort to your children when they see you marched off to be executed. Honey, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be with Jesus. It's going to be okay. You be strong. See, we have to be strong to help those who are not going to be strong. Because the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear. We're going to have to tell people, you can trust God. You believe, you can trust God in the midst of this. You know, there may be devastation and starvation on the earth. God will take care of his people. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be feasting on hams and turkeys and steaks while everyone else is dying. But I do believe this, God will take care of his people. I mean, just like he did in the region of Goshen. I mean, the plagues came on the Egyptians, but not on those living in Goshen. God took care of them. George Mueller never, ever, ever asked anyone for anything. And God sovereignly provided for George Mueller to run those orphanages in England. And there were times where they literally sat down, the orphanage sat down to the table. There wasn't a single crumb of food in the house. And he says, let's bow our heads and pray. And by the time that the prayer ended, there was food at the doorsteps. God will sovereignly take care of us. And we have to be strong to bring hope and encouragement to those whose hearts are failing them. And some of those might be as close as your spouse or as your children or your neighbor or your church member. We have to be strong. Now again, by God's grace, this has not hit the earth yet. But when the Bible declares that these things are going to happen, so it is. And what we want to do is ultimately trust God. Now you might say, that's a glib statement. But here's the thing. What's the alternative? I mean, what's the alternative? We're either going to trust God or we won't. And if we do, God will take care of us. Even if it's in the throngs of death, God will take care of us. So Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you speak these words to your disciples. The passages from Revelation, you spoke to the angel to disseminate to the seven churches. You are the faithful and true witness. You are the one who was and who is and who is to come. You are the soon and coming King. You are the ruler of Israel, and you are the ruler of the universe. And we trust you. We trust you. We look at these things and we have to admit to you, we have to confess to you. We don't like what we read. We don't like what we hear. Our hearts can begin to worry and fear and with dread. But we're going to trust you, God. Even in the midst of that, we're going to trust you because we don't have the answers and we don't have any other options apart from you. You are A, B, and C, and there is no letters after that. You are it. And you either take care of us or you don't. But we know through your word and through the witness of the Holy Spirit that you will take care of us. So I pray a covering, Lord. I pray a covering over every person that names the names of Christ, that we'll stand strong to the end, that we'll live for you, that we'll love you, we'll endeavor to propagate your name upon the earth, we'll endeavor to make your name great, we'll endeavor to make the renown of your name to be great,
through your anointing. We pray for a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, Lord, that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in the holy name of Jesus, and that we would be great witnesses to you and for you. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Well, this Thursday, we're going to celebrate Mrs. Palzer's birthday, and if you want to come...